Thursday, August 4th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, we have addressed numerous times progressive Christianity on Today in Perspective and its influence on the church. Harry, Mark Devine, who is a theology professor at Samford University right there in Birmingham, Alabama, has written an article which appeared in The Federalist. Mark Devine talks about the fact that those who are promoting progressive Christianity are rather upset with the recent Dobbs decision by the Supreme Court. They are not celebrating this decision. They are ashamed of those who are celebrating, and they're rebuking those who are celebrating the Dobbs decision. It appears, according to the analysis of Mark Devine, that the reason why these progressives are so upset is because this decision by the Supreme Court came from President Donald Trump as he put together a conservative majority on that court.
I think it's a good analysis of his article. Of course, it goes into more depth, and I have the privilege to receive his articles from him and get the chance to read them before they show up. And I think he's on to something here. He uses Russell Moore as kind of a poster child for this movement, but we could go ahead and put a lot of other names of those who have embraced progressive Christianity, which is not Christianity. It ultimately is destructive to Christianity. Those who have embraced this movement ultimately are controlled by what I call cultural magisterium and have given up the historic evangelical position of biblical magisterium. That is, the scripture alone is our only rule of faith and practice, but now it's the culture. What's clear is what you just noted. Those three things are so obvious, and Mark brings them out in the article, is that these leaders who have embraced the progressive movement are ashamed of the Dobbs decision. Instead of rejoicing that now preborn children who are unwanted or who are imperfect are no longer under a federal death warrant, instead of rejoicing in that, they see that celebration as something they not only will not do, they have now taken the lecture circuit to tell us why we shouldn't be celebrating that. And the ultimate reason is because it comes from a court that wouldn't have existed without a Donald Trump presidency, and there wouldn't have been a Donald Trump presidency without a significant number of evangelicals who made the decision to vote for Trump. And so the analysis of the progressives is what that actually means is idolatry, that they idolize Trump. This is such a dishonest analysis. The evangelicals I have met, by and large, across the board, acknowledge the shortcomings of Donald Trump, but when they get to the analysis, they had three choices in an election. One was not to participate. The other was to vote for someone who embraced a political platform that was absolutely committed to the genocidal assault upon the preborn, or one who made a promise, I will appoint constitutionalists to Supreme Court vacancies. Some just said, well, I think I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Some said, I'm going to hold my nose and pull the lever for Donald Trump. I cannot vote for those who would enlarge and enforce and cause me to participate in the death of the preborn. I cannot be a party to an election that would affirm the normalization of the murder of the preborn. And they refused to see that. They cast it all as everybody that voted is either a Christian nationalist or they are an idolater of Donald Trump, etc. Thus, when the Dobbs case comes, instead of rejoicing, Tom, that would be like the burgeoning nation of Israel through the family and the developing tribes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are saved through Joseph's engagement with Pharaoh from the death warrant of a famine. That would be like them saying, well, there's no way we can rejoice that our family's eating now because look who is helping us, Pharaoh, and he is such a despot. Yet God used him. I think that the progressive leaders, they don't want to be identified with the unwashed deplorables, as they are called by the elite culture warriors of the day.
Harry, is Russell Moore merely mistaken in his assessment, or is there something more nefarious about this?
Tom, I think he's mistaken in his assessment, but it's a trajectory that I observed in watching him, and that is the impact of progressivism, which takes its cues from the culture instead of the sovereign sufficiency of the inerrant Word of God, and the ability to think your way through issues and realize some issues surface to the top of being a controlling issue, one that the culture has brought to bear upon our consciences, and we have to put a line in the sand, we will not murder. We will not do that. And if God decides to use a Donald Trump, then he does. That doesn't mean we will go along with what he says or does that is unbiblical, but it does mean when I've got a choice, then I have got to make the best possible choice that I can. And the notion that a single issue is governing us is in the one hand true, but it is not true the way that the progressive Christians joined the cultural elite to deplore evangelical Christians. And the reason they cannot understand this, they've just got a faulty filter. The platform is why I'm voting, and I'm going to do everything I can through intercessory prayer and engaging in public theology in the public square to try to ameliorate the issues I have with the individual. But with all due respect to Mr. Moore, if you're asking me to make a decision based upon character between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, dare I say, Hillary Clinton does not trump Donald Trump. I can promise you that. And let me just say this to those who decide we're not going to celebrate, we're going to lament. I cannot believe I hear this language from progressive Christian leaders that we need to lament the Dobbs decision. I am not lamenting the removal of a legalized death warrant upon innocent human beings in the womb. I am not doing that. But let me just say this. This is not just a single issue. This is really a discipleship issue. How do you disciple Christians to engage as salt and light? And how do you move forward? Isn't the foundational issue of justice, you shall not murder? Is that not a foundational issue? And then finally, what I would say, if you want to speak truth to the evangelical community, here is what you need to speak, is that we're not in a culture war. We're in a spiritual war. The culture is simply a battlefield. We're in a spiritual war. And what we need to do is be about the Great Commission to evangelize and make disciples. And what we need to do is engage in the Great Commandment to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. You need to realize that the children that are surviving the womb, which now more will by God's grace, and it is not going to be as easy to manipulate women in crisis pregnancy centers to do what is regrettable, which is take the life of the inconvenient or imperfect or unwanted child. But we need to realize what was also at stake in that election was, are we going to have a federal government that grooms our children for the sexual revolution of sexual promiscuity and sexual perversion? There were multiple issues in that election, and life was at the top, but it was not the only one. So here is the fact that as we move forward, let me just say to evangelicals, be in a church that disciples you, that helps you think through the issues, how to live in the public square, while engaging in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and even the souls of nations. And then secondly, learn to live coram Deo. Don't live under the eye of the culture. Live under the eye of God. Be faithful to Him and call upon Him to bear fruit in and through your life, that men and women might know that Christ is your Lord and Savior.
As we close out for today, let me once again commend to you Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective. We think you will find this very helpful to recognize the marks of progressive Christianity, the topics such as motivation, mission, and message, revoiced theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.